Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the first day of the week, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking to each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation which you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since this happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. And they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He appeared to be going further, but they constrained him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open and they recognized him. And he vanished out of their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 gathered together and those who were with them, who said, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Speak to you in the name of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be back among you. I need to apologize ahead of time. I'm really not very well today. So one thing I'm having trouble with is breathing. So if this sermon stops and starts a little bit, I'm just letting you know ahead of time what's going on. So today is the third Sunday of Easter, and for 1 week we switch from the Gospel of John to the Gospel of Luke to hear the story of what happened on the road to Emmaus, the Sunday of the Resurrection. This story is found only in chapter 24 of the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 24 relates to four events that happened between the resurrection of Christ and his ascension. We have the empty tomb, the road to Emmaus, Jesus' appearance in Jerusalem, and his blessing and departure. An empty tomb in and of itself does not present a persuasive argument for the resurrection. An empty tomb just means that the body wasn't there. The main component of the Christian proclamation rests on the experience of the risen Christ by his followers. The empty tomb story, joined to the witness of those who encountered the risen Christ, strengthen and heighten the impact of the church's proclamation. Throughout the history of the church, the story of the encounter on the road to Emmaus has shed light upon the theology of resurrection, the nature of faith sustained by the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Eucharist through hospitality, and the necessity of communal practices. This story is a model of our liturgy and can be a model for our lives. The story begins with the interpretation of Scripture, just like our service does with the liturgy of the word. And it moves to a meal, the liturgy of the table. That this meal in Emmaus is the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, is evident in its pattern and the language it's used. Took, blessed, broke, gave. But it's a reminder in other ways as well. The meal begins with an act of hospitality, an invitation to a stranger by those who prepared the table. It is the presence of Christ at a table opened to a stranger, which transforms an ordinary supper into the sacrament. Christ is, in a sense, the guest, but he's also the host who breaks the bread, blesses God, and shares with those at the table. It is in this act that the disciples recognize the stranger as Christ. The disciples have now experienced Christ in word as they walked together while he interpreted the scriptures, and in the sacrament as he broke the bread. There is no doubt that the author of Luke Acts is writing not only the story of Jesus, but also the story of the church. The church knows Jesus in these ways. The importance of experiencing the living Christ in word and sacrament cannot be overemphasized. That is why we're here today. There were special appearances of the resurrected Christ to a number of his followers. In fact, the Acts of the Apostles says that such appearances continued for 40 days before he was received up into glory. But if that were the whole story, all believers except those select few who saw Jesus during those 40 days would experience only the absence of Jesus, fated to try to keep faith alive on the insufficient diet of these reports of his having once been seen by others. And so all later generations would have been secondhand Christians, removed by time and place from the Camelot of Luke Acts. But the story of Emmaus tells us that the living Christ is both the key to our understanding the scriptures and the very present Lord who is revealed to us in the breaking of the bread. His presence at the table makes all believers first-generation Christians, and every meeting place Emmaus. Whenever I write a sermon, I always ask myself, so what? What is it that you want your people to take away from the scripture today? Today, it is a pattern for living fully in the company of Christ. First takeaway, don't try to go it alone. Cleopas and the unnamed disciple, which I like to believe was his wife, she was mentioned earlier, were slowly, hopelessly making their way home from Jerusalem. They were talking and discussing together, trying to make sense of all that had happened in Jerusalem. They had each other and were not trying to do this each on their own. When a stranger approached them, they also included him in the conversation. They respected him enough to include him, and they were willing to listen to him. We are meant to discern in community. Second takeaway, Jesus approached the disciples on the road and made the first move. God loved us first. God initiates saving action. We just need to be open and allow God to work in and among us. Third takeaway, stop. When Jesus asked the two what they were talking about, it pulled them up short. Stop and give your attention to trying to understand what God is doing in your life. I know this is easier said than done, but it is possible to develop habits that allow for attentiveness to God. Fourth takeaway, study scripture together. As a church in the Anglican tradition, we are called to interpret scripture through the lens of tradition and reason, with a strong dash of our baptismal covenant thrown in. That keeps us on a loving track. We interpret all scripture with a Christological lens, meaning we view it through the presence of Christ. And we do not use a single word of God as a weapon against anyone. I highly recommend group Bible studies. The insights of others have enriched my understanding of scripture, and together the group has helped to steer others away from false theologies. I really wish I could have been at Jesus' Bible study on that day on the road to Emmaus. Fifth takeaway, look out for one another, especially those at risk. When the travelers arrived in Emmaus, it was getting dark, a dangerous time to be on the road. Jesus didn't force himself on the other two, but they didn't hesitate to welcome him into their home and offer him food and safety. We are called to do that at Christ the King, but also in our homes when it is safe to do so. I remember a night in the late 1970s where I grew up in Kansas City, by the way, and there's a place in Kansas City called the Country Club Plaza, and we had torrential rains, and it totally flooded the whole area. Excuse me. And we lived right off of Ward Parkway, which is a boulevard that is just south of the plaza. And that boulevard turned into a river, and people were abandoning their cars, and they were coming to our door. And my parents welcomed everyone who came, and my mother, they served them dinner. I'll never forget, my dad was a hunter, so we had a freezer full of quail. And my mother just kept hauling out more and more quails out of that freezer. But this is my vision of hospitality when the stranger comes knocking at your door. The sixth takeaway, come together around God's table to experience the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. just as the disciples knew the Lord Jesus in the breaking of the bread. As we gather together, we can be alert to the revelation of the presence of Christ in the faces around us. Be open to the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Last takeaway, just as the disciples did in Emmaus, remember the ways in which you encounter the risen Christ and go eagerly out into the world to tell about your experiences. People want to hear. The church grew from people telling their stories, witnessing to the living Christ. We tell our stories because they make a difference in our lives, but they really make a difference in other people's lives too. I conclude with a story from seminary. I will never forget when the dean of students said to us at seminary that with the help of God, the seminary takes each of us, blesses us, breaks us, and remakes us into priests, and then gives us to the world. I ask you now to see yourselves as people who are taken by God, blessed by God, broken of your selfishness by God, and are given to the world, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the love. Imagine what God can do through you. Amen.